So for those wondering what this morning's sermon's title is, it is simply Rejoice. And it's taken from the words of Philippians 4 and verses 4 to 5, so we shall read those briefly together. Or I shall read them, and hopefully. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Father God, we pray that this morning you will speak through these words, through your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the sermon is very simply this, Rejoice. And the headings are equally simple. It is, be joyful, be gentle, the Lord is near. If you don't know where they're from, hopefully the text will make those clear. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Paul is writing these words to a persecuted church. However, the words themselves tell us of their wider application. They remind us to rejoice always. So it isn't just to the persecuted church. It is to us all, always, that they are written. Also, it is clear that these words are important to Paul, for he repeats his encouragement twice. Joy is a fundamental characteristic of the Christian faith. Before preparing for this sermon, I didn't realize that the Old Testament has 23 different Hebrew words for joy. Now, whilst most of us would want to be joyful always, it's easier said than done. Tough things happen, and joy that we did have can so easily go out of the window. Also, it's hard to exhort someone to rejoice when life is tough, when work is going badly, when money is short, and when suffering the pain of bereavement. And it's even harder when someone else exhorts you to rejoice in those situations. Sometimes it seems as if we just have to fake it to keep up appearances. I must admit I can't profess to being a great example of enduring joy, but this morning I want to draw out a couple of things from the reading based on these verses. The first thing to note is that the source of our joy, for joy must be in the Lord. If we are to have joy, then Jesus must be central. At Christmas time, we often read the words, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Here we see that Jesus is the source of joy. The second thing to note is that joy isn't just a feeling, for here Paul exhorts his readers to action. Rejoice. As one writer puts it, joy is more than a mood or an emotion. Joy is an understanding of existence that encompasses both elation and depression, that can accept with submission events that bring delight or dismay, because joy allows one to see beyond any particular event to the sovereign Lord who stands above it all, above all events, and ultimately has control over them all. Joy is founded on faith in the character of God. So joy is both central to Jesus and also is based on faith on the character of God. There is so much more that we could say about this encouragement to be joyful, but we will move on and look at verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Here we also see the universality of this exhortation. Let your gentleness be evident to all. We should be well aware that gentleness, like joy, is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and therefore is an essential characteristic of Christians. And it's worth us reminding ourselves what gentleness really looks like, for it is often mistaken for weakness. However, gentleness is best recognized when we see great strength is tempered by tenderness. For example, a butterfly in the hands of a farmer or a baby in the arms of a fighter. That shows gentleness in the midst of strength. And as I reflected on this week, two situations came to mind where I had the opportunity to exhibit gentleness. The first was in the car park at Sainsbury's at 4:30 on Thursday, when the traffic was at a standstill and people were pushing in left, right and centre as you were trying to get out onto the roundabout. And it was backed up right up to the entrance to Sainsbury's, and the cars weren't moving at all. Fortunately, Debs was driving. But I'm not sure whether my gentleness would have been evident to all if I had been. The second situation was during a discussion with someone who was being unduly critical of me and some of my friends. It would have been so easy to go on the offensive, to fight fire with fire. Yet I dare to hope in some small way a little gentleness might have been evident to some. As I considered the exhortation to gentleness in light of these two situations, I recognised that gentleness requires that however right we may be, we don't stick rigidly to our rights, but allow space for grace. Debs is a more gracious driver than I am, for it may be her right of way, but she doesn't stick rigidly to it, and in this way, her gentleness is evident to many. But Jesus is our ultimate example of gentleness, not as a baby as we traditionally see in the manger at this time of year, but as the Lord of all the earth, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. If our gentleness is to be evident to all, we must learn humility, resting in God rather than defending our rights. Our final point comes from the second half of verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. This brief sentence is somewhat ambiguous, near. It could mean spatially, in the sense of nearby, or it could be temporally, in the sense of imminent, his imminent arrival. Also, it could be linked with what has gone before, what comes after, or it could be treated as standalone, for there are no linking words within this passage. Whilst this may make it a little difficult to interpret with any certainty, perhaps because of the ambiguity, it can be all of the above. During this time of Advent, we can rejoice in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We can rejoice as we wait expectantly for Jesus, as the people did for the coming Messiah. We can rejoice and have gentleness because the Lord is near, for he indwells us by his Spirit. We don't have to be anxious for anything, for the God of peace is with us. We can pray and be thankful to God, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus, the one who is here with us and is coming back for us. Today, Gaudete Sunday, we can, with the words of the carol we heard, rejoice, rejoice, for Christ is born. For Jesus came to this earth, he is renewing it by his reign, and he will return to it again as king. So this Christmas, don't let the clutter of Christmas or that pietistic stand against the commercialization rob you of such a great opportunity to rejoice in the Lord? And I say it again, rejoice.